not just forgiveness, though, according to the riches of his grace. That's the wonderful thing about what we're reading here, is that you can never sin away God's grace. I'll tell you what he does when he does show you who you are as a sinner. You're brought to look to him and say, even for that, Lord, you paid the debt. I believe that any that are taught of Christ, the more light the Lord shines upon this heart, the light of the glory of Christ, the more we see ourselves as just unworthy. The more we see our sin. As we come back here to 2 Thessalonians 2, when you see man here, this is what I want you to understand when it talks about the man of sin. It doesn't necessarily have to be an individual. And like I said, the immediate context is what we have to look at all times to help us understand these things. So what is the immediate context? Well, here in verse 3, I believe that it's describing those who are of, they're distinguished by their depravity. So again, the man of sin is one as opposed to the man of righteousness. Who's the man of righteousness? Well, we just saw it over in Ephesians. That's Christ. The man of sin is one who is a descendant of Adam. You talk about by one man, sin entered into this world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men for all of sin. So it's talking about natural men here. Now, all of the lambs that were offered up until Christ came and finished the work, they were just there as types and pictures of the person of Christ and his work. They couldn't actually put away sin. It was a covering. That's what the word atonement, when you read the Old Testament, says atonement. That's a covering. With regard to Christ's work, it wasn't an atonement. Satisfaction. That's why in the New Testament, you don't see atonement anywhere with regard to Christ's work. Reconciliation, propitiation, that means turn away God's wrath. Justification, redemption. Atonement was what the blood of bulls and goats did until Christ came and fulfilled it.